joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let
Good morning. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's Christmas time. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners, all around this beautiful snowy world to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us with our scripture and prayer is our very own Deacon Charles Mackey. Good morning.
Christmas. Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm doing well. And yourself?
Wonderful, wonderful, beautiful day.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Carry on, Deacon.
All right. Good morning, all, and Merry Christmas to all. We will begin with Why We Are Here proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. This morning's scripture comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus declared that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service now and later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lifts up Jesus so that all those who are lost today will be found today. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. The birth of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Mackey. You know, we appreciate you, and you enjoy this beautiful day.
Thank you. You as well, and thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Raise your voice and
thank. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord
raise your voice and sing to the Lord. Just say,
the night wind to the little land. Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little land. Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I
go. Let us bring him silver. morning, everybody. Good Christmas morning, the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we know it wasn't on December 25th. If you listen to the history of Christmas that we did on this past Thursday on the 22nd, you know that Pope Julius decided on 350 A.D. that we would celebrate Christmas on December 25th. He wanted to co-opt the wild and ruckus celebrations that the Scandinavians were having with Yule and what the Romans were having with Saturnalia and Juvenalia and the celebration of Mithra, the god born from a rock on December 25th. Every time I say that, it just cracked me up that there's people at that time believed that a god could be born from a rock. But anyway, we know our God was born from Mary. Fully God, fully man, came into our time and space, became a real historical person, and we call him what? Emmanuel. Amen, which interpreted means God with us. He came into our time and space, amen, so he could know exactly what we go through every single day. And that is God's greatest gift to mankind. You can't get a better gift than Jesus Christ, because there's nothing better in all creation than Jesus Christ. And we thank God that he cared that much about us, that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever just believes in him won't perish, but have everlasting life. Now tell me another gift that can do that. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. You know what? That causes us to have what we call joy. And God wants us, as Pastor Terrence Tate say, let Jesus shine in you on yesterday. God wants us to bring joy to the world. How? By shining lights.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Sing.
Everybody sing.
Oh,
Jesus causes and brings joy to the whole world. Amen. Joy to the world on this morning, on this Christmas morning. Amen. We even have a white Christmas, plenty of snow out there on the ground. Amen. And that just makes, you know, Christmas just that much better. Amen. I like to call it Christ Mass or Mass Christ More. Amen. You know why? Because he's the Lamb of God.
Once upon a long night, after a hard fright, somewhere in Bethlehem, a baby breaks the silence, sweetly he's crying, I am Emmanuel. Then angels gave him music, shepherds gave reverence, and a message to the land, a widow held and cherished, the God who became a man.
Amen. Don't you just love that? That is take six. Amen. Really bringing back some memories of Christmas gone past, Christmas today. Amen. You know, for every one of us, we shouldn't wake up sad on Christmas. We shouldn't wake up mad on Christmas. We should wake up glad on Christmas. Why? Because, again, we get to celebrate. I love it how the Lord allows us to reconnect with him through these kinds of holidays. These days that lift him up, all of the rest of the noise of Christmas, amen, and all that stuff that goes with it, even though it's all awesome and all fun and very festive and celebrated, we thank God for it, amen, but it is Jesus who has put the smile on our face. It's Jesus who made us a part of the kingdom of God. It's Jesus who brought us to his Father, and he adopted us as his children. What I'm trying to tell you is that we are kingdom. And everywhere we go, everyone we meet, we should meet them with a kingdom smile. As Pastor Terrence Tate said on yesterday, we should greet them and they should see Jesus shining in us.
We're called to be a light to the whole wide world. How many light holders do I have in here? Come on.
And everywhere I see you need, I go the extra mile.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking to change, but who takes the lead? Yeah. The change that I wanna see is gonna start with me. Everybody saying,
come on,
hey.
Smile.
Yeah.
Come on, say.
You get the glory, you get the victory. Pastor O, as always, you took us there. And we just thank you for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. You get the victory. Okay, which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own sister, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Abraham, you're the God of covenants and faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to
you
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for being so faithful to our process, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be able to just come to your throne yet again, Lord, and be able to just pour out anything that we need to, Lord, even if it's gratefulness. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us and allow us to, even if we don't feel that we're blessed, Lord, to remind us of those small blessings that you bestow upon us every single morning. Lord, again, we want to say, Merry Christmas in our world, Lord, but thank you again for sending your son to die for us as a sacrifice so that we have the opportunity to be able to be with you yet again. Thank you for the intercessory that is on our behalf daily so that we are given the opportunity to not only feel your presence but yet see your face in so many words, Lord. Allow us all to be able to acknowledge your faithfulness yet again, Lord, your patience, the joy, and all of those things that we use within this time and then within this season, Lord, to be able to describe how we feel. Lord, allow us to remember that you are the reason for every season, Lord, and that you are the propitiation, Lord, and that you are the grace and you give the mercy and you give all of those things that we like to glorify, Lord. Allow us to be humble when we remember what it is that you do for us, Lord, and that we don't do it for ourselves. Allow us to also be blessings to others, Lord. Allow us to touch anybody that we can, Lord, and give them a word from you and not from ourselves, Lord. Allow us to begin to meditate on your word only, Lord, and allow us to illuminate the Holy Spirit, Lord, and allow us to gain all of the things that you want us to gain on our behalf from you, Lord. Allow us to align ourselves within your will. Allow us to just be up under you as much as possible, Jesus. Lord, bless every person that's listening, Lord. Allow them to have a beautiful day, not only a beautiful day, but a beautiful week, Lord. And as they begin a new year, Lord, allow them to have prosperity, Lord, in you and only in you, Lord. Bless the speaker today, Lord. Allow his words to only come from you as they always do, Lord. And thank you again for his faithfulness to the process, Jesus. Lord, thank you for the vision that you've given him years ago, and thank you for the mindfulness of others for him to help him put that vision into prosper, Lord. Bless all the people that's around the world, Lord, with everything that they need. Jesus, thank you again for just providing yourself as a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, so that we can have access to you and only you, Lord. Bless everyone again with everything that they need, Lord, and remind us daily of the things that you need from us to complete. Allow us to be humble, allow us to be obedient, and allow us to show grace to others, Lord. And thank you again for this beautiful Christmas day. In Jesus' name with thanksgiving, amen.
of him. Somebody help me, yeah.
Making our request known to God. You know we appreciate you and have a beautiful Christmas day. Amen. Okay, it's Christmas time. And so far we are having a great time this Sunday, Christmas morning. With more to come, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. And be the reason someone smiled today. Enjoy this beautiful Christmas day. Amen. Okay. Time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Rebecca Johnson. Let's prepare to receive Sister Rebecca Johnson as she comes in her own way to introduce the speaker. Amen.
Let me love and adore you totally.
I will lift up my hands as a sign of sweet surrender. Kingdom of my life, Lord of all, how I love you and my life is yours. My life is yours.
And the love that comes from you, so please receive
shall find your heart and you will bless.
On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ ministry family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome, everyone, as we're blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Pastor O is going to continue in the sermon series, Faith, Finances, and You. This is part three, where he will highlight you and how you can learn valuable secrets about finances. He has asked me to read Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. That's Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is the word of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. We continue with the treasure map theme as our very own shepherd leads us to the secret location of the knowledge of how to transform the way we handle our money. Join us as we learn to share our time, talent, and treasure with the Lord. It's time to open up our ears as we let Pastor O do the preaching. Detective Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Johnson. We appreciate you. And tell your husband, Dr. Edward Johnson, we said hello.
Will do.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, Deaconess June Rogers is out of town, but boy, did she hook up her replacement. That's Rebecca Johnson, and she's rising up into the church. She's becoming into, you know how Peter, James, and John made it into the inner circle. I always ask Jesus, if you're not a respecter of persons, what is the inner circle thing? He said they pushed. They pushed and they prodded until they made it right up close to me into the inner circle. And guess what, y'all? It's open to anybody. So you're going to be hearing a lot more from Sister Johnson in the future, amen, as she has joined our teaching ministry. And as you know, every time you turn around, you hear her reading. Amen. And I thank God for her. She's serving as copy editor for my new book. That way I won't have to suffer with all these mistakes that I see in other books. But anyway, God bless you. God keep you. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. Oh, Jesus, we thank you so much. You left heaven. And as the preachers love to say at the end of their sermon, you stepped down through 42 generations. You stopped in a little town called Bethlehem of Judea, and you were born in a manger where they feed animals. But you were raised up by your mom and dad until your dad passed away, and then you stuck it out with your mom until you started that public ministry, and you went around and showed us that the fulfillment of the prophets and everything that had been spoken about you was true in you. And when all of that was done and you had given God's testimony to the world to satisfy Genesis 3:15, that the Savior had actually come, you were crucified, laying in a grave according to the scriptures, and then raised on the third day for our justification. Jesus, we love you, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. We know, Jesus, you weren't born in the wintertime, but we just picked that date. Of course, Pope Julius did it to try to co-opt the celebrations of Saturnalia, Juvenalia, and Mithra, but we do it, Jesus, because we love you. And every year at this time, we want to remember you. And we do that by giving gifts to others because God gave. So we're children of God. So we want to be like you, Father. We want to give. We know we can't give as much as you gave, but we can give like you gave. We can, and we just thank you for that. Help us, Father, to understand how we're supposed to use the things that you gave us. We've had the part about tithing. We had the part about offerings. And now, Father, none of that won't mean anything if we don't change. In Jesus' name, help us to change. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours, but I am here today to be transformed, to change the way I think, so that I will be able to test and approve what your will is that is good, pleasing, and perfect. In Jesus' name, amen. That's some good stuff right there. We can go ahead on and amen. Love. Pastor Jonathan Tate putting on his coat like it's time to go. He didn't preach. Amen. Put your coat, take your coat off, Pastor Tate. I got a few more words to preach. Amen. He told me one time a preacher got up and just said, love, open the doors to the church. You know, I'd be trying to do that every week since 09, but it ain't work. Amen. God bless. Well, we hope you have, excuse me, we hope you're having a wonderful Christmas. Hope it's all about Jesus. Now, if the kids, you know, amen, we were kids, so let them have it. Amen, the red suit and all, let them have it. They'll get old enough, they'll do like I did one time. They'll go find the toys. Say, wait a minute, Santa Claus workshop in my basement, in the cellar? Anyway, God bless, amen, thank God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One second. Okay, you really didn't have to hear all that. But anyway, we have come to the third part of this annual sermon series, Faith, Finances, and You. We talked about faith being the foundation, and that faith is we tithe. We gave ample proof from the Word of God that we tithe. We even found in the New Testament where God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 to 14, don't you know that those who serve in the Lord's house, in the temple, share in what's brought to the temple? And don't you know those who serve at the altar, share in what's offered on the altar? That would be the Levites and the priests. Read Numbers 18 when you get a chance. Amen. And then the Lord gave us four simple words that transferred Old Testament tithing under the Old Covenant to New Testament tithing under the New Covenant. And he simply said in the same way. Same way what, Pastor? See, I love it when you come to church because you holler out that kind of question. I love that. That was Deacon Eric Reed who hollered that out. But anyway, amen. In the same way that God took care of his church in the Old Testament, is the same way he going to take care of it in the New Testament. Those who preach the gospel should learn their living from the gospel. Earn their living from the gospel, from preaching. That's why we give money to preachers when they preach, because God said do that. Amen. Especially pastors. Why? Because a lot of them are 24/7, 365 pastors. They don't have no other job. They ain't got no money coming from nowhere else but the church. Amen. Now, if you're in a church where your pastor's just greedy, okay, for filthy lucre, I love how the Lord called it filthy lucre, and taking all the money and living fat and large, then you need to change churches because you got a greedy Balaam, your pastor. He in it to win it for cash. He ain't in it to win souls or teach souls or help people in or outside the body of Christ. He in it to fatten them pockets. Amen. So you need to get up out of there and agree to disagree and leave and go somewhere where the pastor is literally promoting Jesus and him crucified and lifted up. Amen. And not himself. You can tell a Bible-based church, go and ask them some scriptures, and they'll tell you about them scriptures. Go to a non-Bible-based church and ask them about scriptures. They didn't even know that was in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. So tithing has been laid out in the scriptures, and unless you can find some scriptures in the Bible that say we don't have to bring tithes in the New Testament church, well, we don't have to give offerings in the New Testament church. If you can find that, shoot them at me. Go to our pastorgmo.com, click contact, and let me know where you found that at, because I ain't been able to find it after many, many, many trips through the Bible. Then we looked at the offerings according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, a lot of folks mistakenly call that grace given. Well, grace is involved. God gives us a heart to give, and God gives us to give. And then we found out with the offerings that the blessing that comes from it and the amount of that blessing is up to us, not God. God simply said, do this and I'll do that. So the Lord said, if you give a little bit, you can expect to get a little bit. The Lord said, if you give a lot, then you can expect to get a lot. So it ain't up to him, it's up to us. If you want that window in heaven open, if you want God to rebuke the devourer, if you want God to make your plans not fall apart, if you want people to look at you and know that you are blessed, that like they did the apostles, that they had took note of them, they had been with Jesus, well, then you got to give that tithe. Amen? If you want the Lord to enrich you in every way so that on every occasion you'll be able to give, then you got to give. You know how Jesus said it in Acts chapter 20, and I think it's verse 35. He said, it's far better to give than to receive. And we can be like old St. Nicholas if we want to. If we want to just try to mimic Jesus, you know how he just gave all the time. Jesus just couldn't stop giving offerings. Amen. You know he even paid the temple tax, which was 2 drachma, his and Peter. And you know, so you know Jesus was a tither. You know Jesus wasn't going to stiff himself. Amen. So he's a tither, right? Amen. So old St. Nicholas, he was a real historic person. If you listen to the history of Christmas, you know that. Old St. Nicholas used to go around helping people who were in need. You know how we like to do. We like to give gifts to people who got a whole lot of money, who got a whole lot of stuff, and they'll tell you, oh, that was so awesome what you gave me. But then we look at poor people and say they need to get a job. Really? Jesus fed 5,000 full people. Jesus healed unsick people. Amen. Get a clue. Jesus helped people who need it. Amen. So we found out that the Lord will enrich us in every way so that we have all that we need, right? Then we can have enough that's overflowing. Didn't the psalmist say, my cup overflows? See, Jesus wants your money cup to overflow. He wanted to overflow. Jesus wants you to have all that you need so that you can be generous on every occasion that comes up for you to give. Galatians 6:10 tell us, as often as you have opportunity. Now look around in the world. Oh, you see a whole lot of opportunities to give, right? He says, as often as you have opportunity, let us give to those who are outside the body of Christ. Wow. Unsaved people who don't even praise Jesus, who don't even thank God for waking up. Jesus said, give them like God gives them. See, it's snowing outside right now. Amen. God done gave us a white Christmas. I got neighbors across the street who don't even believe in Jesus. But guess what? They got a white Christmas too. I got some decorations on my house because I understand that light is to be celebrated. As Pastor Terrence Tate said yesterday, Jesus is the what? Light of the world. So we celebrate light. We're the children of the light. And we're to come out from the darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. So I put lights up. Amen. Celebrate light. Celebrate Christmas. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Christ more. So in the offerings, we found out that we are to give those too, but we also found out that God was going to give them to us first. And so much so that they're overflowing. And so much so that my wife, I told you about this before, she's going to hit me in the head for telling you again. But anyway, she just got a notion. I think it was September or October. She said, we going to have a giveaway. I'm like, at the church? No, in front of the house. So we set up a table in front of the house, put stuff on it, and people came and got it all. And I'm like, she ain't going to get that blessing by herself. So I took my stuff out there and put it on the table. People came and got it all. Amen. It is that easy to give. And y'all know we got, like Crystal like to say, we got hoardations all over the place. We've been hoardating so much that we can't even hardly move around our house and get mad when we see it all. Put a table in front of your house and give it all away. And don't worry about how much you paid for it. Just watch when people get it and that smile on their face. And guess what? You gave away some stuff you couldn't use. I know you're waiting to get back in them shoes. People kill me talking about I'm saving these shoes because I'm going to get back in them. What, your foot going to shrink? You better, amen. Come on now. Amen. So tithes, commanded by God. That's God's money, 10%. Whether we're doing it or not, it's his. And if you ain't giving it, you're robbing it. But anyway, offerings, well, God expects. My wife and I, we give generously. We give, why? Because we want to receive generously. God said it. Don't look at me funny talking about he like money. Yes, I like money. So I give away a lot of money. So God give me a lot of money. So I can have all I need, all we need, then we can bless other people. And guess what? God act like we at the other end of a pipe. He poured blessings on the one end of the pipe from heaven. Like, remember Jacob's ladders, angels was going up and down on it. He poured blessings at one end of the pipe, come out the other. One time, we needed $500 to bless a family in our church for Christmas. Okay, so the Lord gave us $1,500. So So I say, Jesus, we only needed 500. What is this? He said, that's the overflow. Amen. Get arrested. If you don't know what to do with it, give it to your wife. She'll know what to do with it. So we gave the family the 500, and then my wife knew what to do with the rest of it. I didn't even have to tell her nothing. She knew what to do with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody out there talking about, husband, did you hear that? Amen. Now she in here giving me the Holy Ghost faith. But anyway, amen, praise the Lord. See, she can't talk about what she do, but I can, because hey, I ain't going to miss, wait a minute, no, I'm connected to her. I might miss my blessing. So we got the tithes and offerings together, and now we come to the third part. That's you. That's me. That's us. It does not matter what God said about the tithes and the offerings. He'll open you up a window, pour you out so many ideas to make money that you won't even have room enough or long life enough to put all them plans into action. They'll just be overflowing to you. Every time you turn around, there's another plan to profit. And then he, you know, the offerings. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can give. But guess what? If you don't change the way you handle your money, ain't none of that going to happen. Amen. I hate to make you sad on Christmas, but ain't none of that going to happen. If you are not tithing, then the window of heaven is not open, pouring you out a blessing, unless God's a liar. Because God said if you bring the tithe, the whole tithe, into the storehouse, not a piece of the tithe, but the whole tithe, into the storehouse, then I will. Now, God won't if you don't. The Lord said about giving, you know, give yourself first, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, give yourself first to him. Then he will direct you to give to whoever. Amen? But if you're not, you're only giving a little bit, then God can't do a whole lot of giving with you, because you've relegated yourself to a little bit. So if we read the word of God, listen, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. If you don't do that, amen, you don't get the blessing that comes from that. God is not playing when he says, if you do this, I'll do that. God is not a liar. And God's not going to bless you just because you got good intentions. God knows that you can give the tithe. God knows that you can give a good offering. You just need to know that. So the you part is more of verse 2 in this equation. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. You know how it was before you became a Christian. You did whatever you wanted to do with your money. But Luke 6:46 says, amen, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Amen. See, some of us, we're saved, but we're still conformed to the old ways that we handle our money. Jesus has not become Lord of our dollar-dollar bills. Amen, y'all. Dollar-dollar bills, y'all. Jesus ain't Lord of your dollar-dollar bills. If you are not tithing, he ain't Lord of your dollar-dollar. Now, look, do not get it in your head that Jesus don't love you, and don't even start that. Jesus loves you so much that he got up on the cross for you, got tore up from the floor for you, raised on the third day for you, then offered his righteousness to you. You heard Sarah in her prayer use that word propitiation. That's a legal word. Amen. That means that Jesus connected us back to God legally. And so we rightfully can cry, Abba, Father. But if you're not doing what he said, then he is not Lord. You know, I get this picture in my head, Jesus walking down the street, right? Got his disciples there rolling, right? And all these people back here hollering, Lord, Lord. Lord, and Jesus just got fed up. Because if you read it, the tense is that he just blurted out, hey, why you keep calling me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? You know what Jesus said in John 14? He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. When we get saved, there's a whole lot wrong with us as individuals. What's wrong with me might not be wrong with you, and what's right with me might not be right with you. And the opposite, right? When Jesus finds us, we're a complete, unsaved, hot mess that don't know him at all. But over time, as we dwell together with him. Amen. We begin to amass an amount of knowledge about him. But until we do what God tells us to do, nothing changes. We're saved and still the same. We're saved and we still lie. We're saved and we have more sex than married people. We're saved and we got more babies than married people. You get the point? We're saved, but we're not changing. We're not changing. We're in love with our conformity to this world, and we're not changing. The pattern remains the same. We're not changing about the tithe. We still don't do that. We're not changing about the offerings. We throw people a dollar. We're not, a dollar. Baptist dollar. Why do they call it the Baptist dollar? I don't know. But we're not changing. And if we're not helping people in or outside the body of Christ and we're not intentional about that, we're not changing. As it relates to our finances, because that's what we're talking about, faith, finances, and you. Amen. God's going to do what God said he's going to do. But as long as we remain conformed to the way we handled our money before we met the Lord, it'll stay the same. It won't change. Even though you're a child of God, it won't change. See, God wants to be Lord of your life. Let his will be done on earth in regards to your money as it is in heaven. Look, let me read you something to Luke. Go to Luke 6:16. Open up. You know with me, you got to open up that biblical, right? So go to Luke 16. Listen to what the Lord says about people who he gives stuff but won't give it back to him. People who just turn into hoarders. It's just for me. Amen. And nobody else. Amen. I'm starting at verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? True riches, real quick, is stuff you get to keep in heaven forever. Because everything you got here, you're going to lose when you die. It's gone. It's a wrap. It's going to somebody else. Hopefully you got the paperwork done so the right person get it. If not, well, then the state going to help you divide it up. It's called probate. Amen. If you cannot be trusted with handling this little worldly wealth that God gives you, you won't let him be Lord over your money. You're not changing. You're saved, but Jesus still ain't Lord over your money. And so the way you handle money is not changing. You ain't handling money. Money handling you. You keep chasing them hundreds like they got feet. Amen. The way the Lord works is this. When you go back to Deuteronomy in chapter 28, he says, if you fully obey and if you carefully follow all these rules, regulations, and bylaws I'm giving you today, that means they can do it. God's not going to ask you to do something that you cannot do. Okay? He says if you fully obey and carefully follow all the stuff I tell you, then guess what? Blessings going to run you down and overtake you. And that agrees with Matthew 6:33. If you seek his kingdom, you know what that means? His authority, his rule. Every kingdom has its own rule, right? So if you accept his kingdom and his rule over you, and if you live according to his word, righteousness, well, guess what? All these things will be added to you. That, you know, when people add stuff to you, they did it. God wants to add to you. But what if you don't seek his kingdom? What if you don't seek his righteousness? Then them things won't be added to you. What if you don't fully obey? What if you don't carefully follow? You know what happened when Israel did not fully obey and when they did not carefully follow? We're reading about it in Jeremiah right now. They were God's people, wasn't they? Going into captivity. See, when God's people don't listen to him concerning money, they go into debt. That's captivity to debt. Or they go into captivity to lack. That means they don't never have nothing. They got peanut, no butter. Eggs, no ham. Milk, no cereal. If, no what. They got a little bit of cool, no aid. Hey, man, you get the point, right? Look, it's not a matter of whether God loves us. It's a matter whether God, whether we love him. Now watch this. It gets deeper. So if you are not, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will give you true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, guess whose property you have? God's. Who will give you property of your own? See, Jesus told us, don't lay up for yourselves, what, treasures on earth. And that's what we do all the time. But he says, rust, moss, and thieves, they'll break through and steal it. Y'all know that. Keep nothing. It'll just wear out and become useless, right? But he says, instead of that, do this. Use worldly wealth to lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. You know why? Because nobody's going to break through and steal it. There is no rust there, and there are no moths to eat it up. Amen? But here's the crux of the whole matter. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot love. Look, watch this. God makes it plain. He ain't talking about nothing but money here. You cannot serve both God and money. You just can't do it. Amen. You serve God, and he's Lord over your money, or you're serving your money to make money. You X Jesus out because you're not doing it his way. And don't think because a person is rich, they're well off. There was a rich young ruler that came up to Jesus one day. And he says, Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He probably had inherited his wealth because he was a rich young ruler. Parents died and left him everything. But he was a rich, young, selfish ruler who Jesus was definitely not Lord of nothing in his life. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor. He didn't tell him to give it all to the poor, just give to the poor. And come and follow me and you will have what? Treasure in heaven. But the rich young ruler looked at Jesus like a lot of us do. We hear what we need to do. Jesus said, bring the whole tithe in the storehouse. I'll do this. Jesus says, give generously and I'll do this. So that you'll have, I'll enrich you so that on every occasion, okay? But we don't do what Jesus say. We keep the tithe. We keep the offerings. And then it becomes just about us. And so none of the promises that the Lord has made, we reduce ourselves down to what's called pagan blessings. Pastor, what's a pagan blessing? See, I love it when Deacon Reed come to church because we ask him questions like that. Him and Aletris Cow, and they'd be like, what? Or Crystal, you know she going to say something. Her and I can't call him boy no more. He's a man, a mirror. And they going to say something to you. We got the kind of church people literally talk back. Amen? Amen. But anyway, God wants to bless you. God wants to enrich you. God wants to raise you up in your finances. He wants to become Lord of those finances. Amen. But if you're more in love with money than you are with God, now let me show you. If you're not tithing, if you're not giving offerings, if you ain't not trying to help people in or outside the body of Christ with everything the Lord has given you, amen, you're in love with money and not God. And you love it more than God because you won't even give it to him. And you know, I'm doing another book, and it's going to be on this subject. And the first part of the book, the whole first chapter is God given to us. And when you see how much he has given to us, I mean, it just only makes sense that we would give back to him. So the Lord wants us to change the way that we think. Amen. So we can always know what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is when it comes to giving. Amen. But if we don't change the way we think and we remain conformed to this world and not allow the word of God to transform us, for instance, you know when I talk to you, I back it all up with scripture. And so if I back it all up with scripture and it's in context and this is what it means, we've applied the rules of interpretation, hermeneutics, right? We use the law first mentioned. That's the one I use because the Bible is the best interpreter of itself. When you start listening to what people say in their commentaries, you're going to quickly find, like I did back in the 70s, that this guy or this girl said the Bible says this about this. And then this one over here switched up and said, no, it means this. That's why I got me a complete biblical library where every comment is from the word that it was written in, the Greek Aramaic. So they don't get a chance to make up what God said. Amen? Amen. But God wants you to know what his will is concerning giving and concerning handling money. But if you don't know that, then you'll never know what his good, pleasing, and perfect will for the money he gives you is. Amen? And that's something that we all want to know. So we have to have our mind renewed by reading the Word of God. Then, and only then, can we test and approve what God's will is. A lot of folks don't know what God's will is for finances because they haven't read the Word of God to see what his will is for finances. And then when we read the Word of God and see what his will is for our finances, that's when you, that's when I, that's when we have to change. That's when we have to lose our conformity to the old way we handled our money when we were unsaved to the way we handle our money when we're saved. When we were unsaved, it was me, Joe, us four, and no more. But now that we're saved, to as many as we can, like the Lord our God, we stick outstretched hands. And guess what? God woke folk up this morning who believe Santa Claus is God. God woke folk, they don't even know about St. Nicholas. They just believe in Thomas Nast's drawing of Santa Claus. Okay? The mythical rider who come down chimneys and stuff, amen? Not the real St. Nicholas who gave gifts as God blessed him. He had received everything he had from an inheritance, and Jesus said, take and use what you have received as an inheritance to help the poor, and that's what he did, and that's why folks still know his name today, and this happened around 325 A.D. And here it is, 2022 A.D., and we still know St. Nicholas. Why? Because he was a gift giver. When the Lord changed his mind, and when he read the Word of God and saw what the will of God was, guess what? He did it. Amen. Now, before I close, I want to give you a new way to look at your money, some things that you should be doing, because I'm coming to a close here, and I want to just give you 7 financial things that you can do to increase. Remember, the Lord said over there over and over in 2 Corinthians 15, even with the tithe, okay, he's going to increase you. But he's going to increase you so you can help people, not just buy more clothes, get a better car, get a better house, go on more trips, have more funnies, go to more nightclubs and all of this stuff. It's some of that, but not all of that. God don't mind us having a good time, but not at the expense of not helping other people. So here's some way God's going to increase you. We always hear that increase, increase. Well, how is he going to increase me? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tells you about it. He wants you to make investments. He say you invest a little, guess what? You get a little. You invest a lot, guess what? You get a lot. So let's look at some practical ways that we can change the way we use our money. Amen? Number one is, create a spending plan and a budget. If you are spending more than you earn, you will never get ahead. In fact, it is a sure sign that your finances are in trouble. The best way to make sure that your income is greater than your expenses is to track your expenses for a month or two and then create a budget. It can be a very simple budget, but you should have one. God don't take you serious if you ain't got a budget, because you just spend your money all willy-nilly. And if you think a perfect God going to involve himself in somebody's little raggedy financial plans like that, you're crazy. Nobody takes new wine. God is not going to take the new wine of his financial increase ideas and pour them into your old wine sack, your old conformity to this world, and give you more money to mess up the way you've been messing up the money you got now. God has watched, he knows exactly how much money he's given you since you were able to know you were getting money. But you don't know, do you? Most folks don't even know this. how much money are you taking in every year, and how much money are you spending out? Unless and until you get to know that, you don't know where you are in your finances. You don't know if you're above the mark or below the mark. So here's what you need to do. Write down everything that you spend weekly, annually, monthly, yearly, okay? Things like, don't write down things that don't happen. That's not your income, okay? Things like you hit the lottery because you play numbers all the time. That is not income because that ain't going to happen all the time. Somebody walked up to you, gave you $100. That ain't going to happen all the time, okay? Write down the things like gas bill, light bills, the things you have to pay continuously, okay? And then write, that's your bills. Write your income down. Write your bills down. Now, if your bills exceed your income, then you're underwater. There's only two ways to rescue yourself from that situation, okay? Make more money or decrease your spending. It's as simple as that. So get a budget, and the Lord will take you serious. Because if you don't have a budget, you're not serious about your money. And the Lord Jesus is way too serious to be involved with somebody like that. So if you want to remain conformed to the old way and don't have a budget, don't know how much you're taking in, don't know how much you're spending out, then Jesus ain't getting involved in that. So get a budget. Number two, pay off debt and stay out of debt. One of the best things you can do for your finances is to pay off all your debt. Get started. Focus on your most expensive debt, the credit cards and loans that charge you the highest interest. Once you've paid off these debts, focus on paying off your mortgage. For your mortgage, consider splitting your monthly payments in half and paying biweekly. Then pay extra as you can afford it. This will shave years off your mortgage and save you tens of thousands of dollars. Raise your hand if you want to save tens of thousands of dollars off your mortgage. Amen. Amen. See what God wants to do? He wants you to get, see them credit cards, they got high interest rates, especially now it could be as much as 22 to 25%. And I know you've noticed it, that you're paying them a lot of money. The Lord woke, one day I was sitting here messing around on the computer. He said, you messing around. Let's find out what you owe on them credit cards. And we went and looked at one. He said, you need to pay that off. I want that paid off. And so, believe it or not, something happened, and boom, a way came for me to pay it off. And so I went to my wife, who runs the money, and I said, this is what Jesus told me. And she said, okay, was that what Jesus told you? She's like, good at me and me. Boom, it was done. It was done, okay? And so that way we were able to get to save some interest. In other words, God wants you, he'll help you pay off your debt. All you got to do is get on your knees and say, Lord, I heard what old crazy Pastor O say. I want to pay off my debt. And when Jesus shows you a way to pay it off, and you know how we like to do, put $200 on the credit card that's way over limit, and then we go and spend the $200. Now we're right back where we were. He wants to break that cycle. Amen. Number three, prepare for the future. Set savings goals. Saving money for your future is crucial. If you don't get set savings goals and steadily work towards them, you will have to rely on credit when times get tough. You might even need to work through your retirement years to supplement your small government pension. Entering retirement may also be delayed or impossible if you are in debt because you need enough money to make up for your payments. So start savings on a regular basis using a tax-free savings account, okay, a TFSA or an RRSP or both. Plan your retirement. Figure out how much money you will need to retire comfortably and then start saving. This money also makes a great rainy day fund if you lose your job or suffer an unexpected financial setback like the pandemic did to a lot of us. Make sure you have enough insurance. Accidents happen. 1 in 4 people are hurt on the job. Natural disasters can easily cause thousands of dollars in damage to your home. Make sure you have enough insurance for the place you live and the lifestyle you lead. Write a will and decide who will get your assets or take care of your children when you die. This lets you decide who benefits from all your hard work, and that is plain, right? Number four, start saving early, but it's never too late to start. Due to the magic of compounded interest, even when the rates are low, someone who starts to save for their retirement early doesn't have to save as much as someone who starts late. If two people decide to save for retirement, but one starts at 21 and the other at 31, the 20-year-old can save $100 per month until they are 65 and accumulate $253,000 for their retirement, assuming a 6% annual rate of return. The person who starts at 31, on the other hand, will have to save $190 per month to have the same amount by age 65. So the second person will have to pay almost twice as much per month to make up for waiting 10 years. It's never too late to begin saving, but the sooner you start, the better off you will be. Number five, do your homework before making financial decisions or purchases. Many people will do more research before buying a TV than they will before purchasing an investment or buying a home. Make sure that you are not one of them. Buying a home and saving for retirement are two of the biggest financial decisions most people will ever make. Number six, sleep on it. Don't be hasty. With big financial decisions, there are no major financial decisions or major purchases that need to be made on the spot. In fact, being pressured into making a hasty financial decision is one of the warning signs that the deal might not be as good as it seems. All worthwhile opportunities will be there another day if you are patient. It is better to wait and learn a cheap lesson than hastily rush into something and learn an expensive lesson. When you take the time to sleep on big decisions, you will have time to consider alternatives, evaluate whether you really need this, or probably get some other opinions and information. There are wise things to do every time you make a big decision, but specifically financial decisions. Number seven, stay married. Studies show that people earn higher incomes, have twice the assets at retirement, and live on 25% less what comparable people, single people, would need to live the same lifestyle. Statistically speaking, staying married is good for your finances. B.B. King said it. It is cheaper to keep her. Amen. Wait a minute. Amen. Amen. It is cheaper to keep her, as B.B. King said. And so, brothers and sisters, if we want the Lord to be involved in our finances going forward, we're going to have to lose our conformity to the way we've always done it. We're going to have to read his word and allow it to transform our minds. And then, and only then, will we be able to test and approve what God's will is for our finances, what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is for our finances. And again, God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be blessed, y'all. He wants us to increase. And so as we go forward into the new year, allow the Lord Jesus to become Lord of your finances. Then faith. Okay, that'll work because we're given the tithe, right? That's the foundation for everything else we're going to do in our financial life. See, faith blesses the offerings because the window opens. The devourer is rebuked. The plans work. That way, we can give generously. So we receive from the Lord generously. And we can be cheerful givers, not givers like Cain who just brought it because God commanded it but brought it any kind of way with a bogue attitude. But we can be cheerful givers, and we can know that God loves us. And then the Lord says that having all that we need, imagine that, having all that you need, and it's in your hands to get all that you need, you will be able, amen, to give every time an opportunity comes up. So faith, finances, and you into the new year is all about you. It's all about you becoming in your finances Amen. What God wants you to become. And God has a better plan for your finances than you ever will. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And God keep you.
Amen. Good morning. Merry Christmas, everybody. Wow. Faith, finances, and you. And it is all about you. That's pretty clear. Since the beginning, it's always been about us. Everything that God has done for us and planned for us and set up for us has always been about us. And all he asks is that we be obedient and we do what it is that he has asked us to do. Amen. So thank you, Pastor, for once again providing us with our annual traditional faith, finances, and you sermon series. We're so grateful for the time that you took, you know, and sometimes people think when things are said that it's redundant or no, it's just God reminding us, look, I got this. If you just do what I need you to do, I got this. Amen. So thank you for providing us with this information so that as we go into a new year, we can start off fresh. And don't worry, most of us get it wrong in the first day. It's okay. 1 John 1:9, that whole situation, realize that you were out of line, that we're wrong, and God's right, and he'll clean us up, dust us off, and put us right back on the right path. And you might have to do that a couple times a day, and it's okay. Every day is a new day, and God's grace and mercy is always with us. Amen? Amen. So once again, Merry Christmas to everybody all around the world. By way of just a couple of announcements, we always want to remind everyone that our Talk Radio Saturday Church School begins at 9 a.m., followed by our Saturday worship service that begins at 10 a.m., as well as our Sunday worship service that we have here every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Amen. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., our Bible reading classes are held on Blog Talk Radio. Rebecca Johnson, Dr. Rebecca Johnson, that's what her sister Rebecca Johnson, she is so amazing. Her opening today, like nobody can top June when it comes to the opening that we get for Pastor Sermon. But I'm going to tell you, Rebecca was on point today. I just feel like she can just read everything all the time. I love her voice. It's amazing. So she will actually be teaching Bible class this week on Wednesday, our Bible reading class. So questions are available by email if you're on Pastor's email list. They've already been sent out. They're also on our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes tab and be ready to participate with that. On Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show Bring Back the Family, talking about this week how, you know, we can prepare our children moving forward and going into the new year. So make sure to tune in for that. Every Saturday at 11:30, Pastor Janice Tate has her women's Bible class that's held through Bondage Breaker Ministries, which is her ministry, which she's the president of. So if you want to participate in Pastor Janice's women's Bible class that happens on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., make sure to reach out to her for information on how to participate. If you want to pay your tithes and give any offerings of any kind, again, church website, rfcm.org. You can do whatever it is that you need to do today. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and everyone else that we are enable to help through your consistent and generous giving throughout the year. We have multiple ministries that we give to, Covenant House, Salvation Army, Bondage Breaker Ministries. There's a couple other ones. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but they're all on our church website. Amen. So when you give, I said yesterday, you're not just lying in Pastor O's pockets with money and everything. We all know how modest and minimal Pastor O and Sister Sheila are. So you are, when you give, you are pouring into others. Amen. So that's what it's all about. So don't forget to check our church website, rfcm.org. Lots of information. Pastor puts in tons of hard work. There's jobs, there's resources, there's information. Use it for yourself. Bless others on purpose with the information. You know, just make sure to share the website with others. Amen. Of course, we always want to shout out all of our Run for Christ Ministry members. We know we're all together in spirit, but we always want to show love to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma,
Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. We always got at least one of them on Sundays in the building holding down for all of them. And so we know we have them listening this morning, and we just want to tell them that we love them. Merry Christmas to them, and we miss them all. Amen. So we just need to make sure that we're taking the time to call and text and email and check on everybody to make sure everybody's okay. Make sure to keep everybody listed up in prayer. If you need any information or phone numbers or addresses for any of the members at Running for Christ Ministries, you want to send a card or whatever the case may be, just reach out to Sheila and she will make sure to get that information to you. Make sure to continue to pray for Nico Gaston, Deacon Rayfield, again, all of our mothers, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, as well as Keila Freeman. Continue to pray for our president, vice president, all of those who have the rule over us in our communities and things like that. Continue to please pray for all of our children, all of our young adults. It's so funny. My son did the proclamation in scripture and prayer yesterday, and I hear his voice every day. I don't remember what his voice sounds like, you know, with it not being sounding like an adult. I have to go back and watch old videos, but it's funny how, you know, Pastor talks about it, and even Kathy was mentioning how, you know, he just sounds like such an adult. So, you know, we have young adults. A lot of us have young adults. Our kids have transitioned out of high school and now are a little more stepping into the world. And so we just need to continue to pray for them. Amen. And just continue to support them and give them the word of God so they have something to stand on. Amen. So continue to pray for all those who are bereaved and mourning and grieving. Continue to pray for all those who are lonely and hurt and stressed, depressed, mostly those who are lost, because if they're lost, they don't know that Jesus is there. Amen. So we have a responsibility to make sure that we spread the good news. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's not just a cliche. And just like Pastor Janice said yesterday, Christmas to Christians, it's every single day. Amen. Amen. So keep everyone everywhere in your prayers all the time. Amen. Again, the holidays are here. Christmas is here. We know it's a hard day for people, a hard time for people. But even past Christmas, even when this day is over with, make sure to continue to be kind and compassionate and caring and considerate of others. Amen. We have been created in the image and the likeness of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that same love and care and compassion that we expect Jesus to give us, you know, when we ask for forgiveness and he cleanses it and wipes it away like it never happened, we need to be doing that same thing for others, showing that same love, that same kindness, that same mercy, that same grace that we get and we expect. We need to be giving that willingly to others, amen, because Jesus willingly gave it to us, amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or if you're celebrating on Christmas Day. I know a lot of Christmas birthday people don't like it because they get, like, one gift that's for two reasons. So nevertheless, still be grateful, amen. So my sister Carmen celebrated on the 8th, Elder Joe Stevens celebrated on the 9th, John, Pastor Jonathan's son, celebrated on the 15th, and my sister Anita will be closing us out this month with her birthday on the 31st. So happy, happy birthday to all of you, amen. And last but not least, it is your devotional, and it is entitled Jesus Wants You for Christmas by Pastor Rick Warren. He is the pastor at Saddleback Church. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. So what are you giving Jesus for Christmas? It is his birthday, after all. You buy gifts for all the other important people in your life, right? Can you imagine having a birthday party and buying gifts for everybody except the birthday boy? Well, you ask, what could you possibly give God who has everything? There is only one thing he wants this Christmas, and that's you. God doesn't have your life unless you give it to him. He doesn't have your trust unless you give it to him. He doesn't have your love, submission, honor, and obedience unless you give it to him. He gives you choices because he wants you to choose him. You might as well stop celebrating Christmas if you're not going to give Jesus the only gift that he wants from you. God wants you to trust him and to love him. Did you know that there has never been a time when God did not love you? Even before you were born, God loved you. Imagine him saying to you now, you matter to me. I love you. I've cared about every moment of your life. I made you, and I want a relationship with you. That's why I came to earth, to one day redeem everything, including you, so you could be part of my family. The Bible says, again, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Again, that's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. You can begin a friendship with God today. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with God. You were not made for a religion. Jesus didn't die for a religion. Jesus died because he loves you. He wants you in heaven with him. He came to be your Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. If you didn't need a Savior, Christmas wouldn't have happened. This Christmas, you can either accept Jesus or reject him. You trust him or you turn away from him. You behold him or you betray him. Give Jesus your life this Christmas. It's the only gift he wants. Amen. And from Pastor and Mrs. O and all of us at Run for Christ Ministries, to all of you who tune in weekly and will tune in the future, have a very blessed, happy, and merry Christmas. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen. And thank you for jumping in and giving me a break. I appreciate it.
Amen.
That to the nth degree. Amen.
I'm
Amen.
Always ready. Amen.
Woo, thank you, Crystal.
Amen. You're
I
welcome.
Go find my voice. I know it's going
yes,
away
sir.
As we
Amen.
Speak. Tell me, I said, Merry
Amen.
Christmas and Happy New Year
Absolutely.
And all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Merry Christmas to y'all. We love you. Amen.
Love you, Crystal. Be blessed.
Love you, too. You, too.
Hey, man, what an awesome day that we had. You know, just want to let everybody know that might be listening for the first time that every year, instead of preaching a Christmas message, we always have faith, finances, and you. At the end of the year, this is when we sum everything up, okay, and we look back. You know, the Lord said in that prayer over in Philippians 4:6, he said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and remember what he's done. So we look back over the year, okay, and we assess it, and we go forward from where we are now. And so every year we come to the end of the year, and we look at how are our finances working and how can we make them work better in the new year. So that is why we preach this every year versus Christmas message. And, of course, coming up in January, we're going to have God's plan for life and family. Amen. God's plan for life and family. So we can get that going right at the beginning of the year so we can change the way we think about life and family, okay, over to the way God thinks, and then we can go forward from there. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in every single year. And if you have any questions on faith, finances, and you or anything else, just go to my website, pastorgmo.com, and send me your question, and we'll get it back to you. Amen. Okay, I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn all year long. She's been very faithful every single Saturday, and since we've been on here on Sundays, since the church is being renovated, okay, until that's done, this is where we'll be. But she's been faithful every single year, okay, and being the presiding person, finding people to come and do the scripture and prayer, somebody to do the altar call. And we thank God for her, for Rebecca Johnson, her generous husband. He impressed me to the nth degree. I had a chance to look at a prayer that he prayed, and, boy, it was so packed with faith. And it sort of, Jesus just got to walking back and forth as soon as I read it. Why? Because I knew that prayer was going to make him move and do something. And he can't wait for the opportunity to say yes to that prayer. And I was so impressed with it. So kudos to you, Big Ed. Appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon and her very kind and generous husband and children, Harley and Hunter and James, who loans his wife to us and allow her to bless us like she does. So we thank God for that whole family set over there. That is a blessed family over there. Amen. Amen. And, of course, we thank God for Crystal. She's been around here. She about crazy as I am. She's been around here since 09. Crystal been on Blog Talk Radio listening since 09, and then became the announcement clerk. And I'm telling you, you've been faithful throughout the years. Her and her mother used to race to be the first one in. Okay, her and Mother Stubblefield and Mother Phillips, they were the ones who were there all the time. They would be locked in before I got in. Probably shouldn't have told that. But I want to thank God for them as well. And I want to thank all of the preachers on Blog Talk Radio Saturday and Sunday. You know, they have really been a super blessing to me all year long. And ever since Running for Christ Ministry started, of course, Associate Pastor, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate was the first male member of our church. Amen. So we thank God for him, who kind of ran from the preaching thing for a minute, but Jesus caught up with him. And for Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, who has been the senior teacher in our church since the beginning. Well, I started it out, and then Jonathan and Deacon Charles Tate. But then when Janice came in, Jesus fired us, and she took over. Amen. But we have truly been blessed. And you, if you've had the chance to listen to her in our church school, I know you've been blessed. Amen. You're like, wow, I didn't know you could know that much. But, yes, you can. And she don't hesitate to give it out. Amen. So we thank God for her. For our local evangelist, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, I'm telling you, you better let your light shine, or he going to see you and ask you, is your light shining? Amen. He going to ask you, is you willing to be uncomfortable for Jesus? You know, the Lord brought that up in the sermon I got to preach in the future. Amen. He's about being uncomfortable for Jesus. But anyway, we'll talk about that then. Amen. So we thank God for all of the deacons, all of the deaconess, through their leadership, Deacon Charles Tate, Deacon Charles Mackey, Lord have mercy, the chairman and vice chair, and for the chair and vice chair of the Deaconess Board, Sister Leitrice Cowan, and Deaconess Carmen Abraham, amen, who is also our church school superintendent, amen, she's the funder. So if there's any funding needed for the school, Carmen takes care of that. Plus, she's my go-to person for this, that, and the other, along with her mom. The whole executive board, I ain't going to name them all because we got a long list, amen, and especially for Baby Holy Ghost, my wife, who is even right now Baby Holy Ghosting and writing things down for me to read. The executive board and our president and my counselor, Sharon Abraham, you know, people ask the question, Pastor, who do you talk to when you need to talk to somebody? Sharon Abraham, that's who Jesus picked. And when I get all twisted up, I go to her. Amen. All of the mothers, all of the little rabbits and the little birds, praise God for all of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for each and every one of you who make Running for Christ Ministries happen. That's the official boards and the membership. You're awesome. And we especially want to thank God for you for your generous giving, because three times this year we were able to bless Forgotten Harvest, Gleaners, Salvation Army, Covenant House, Detroit Rescue Mission, Bondage Breakers, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful Christmas. Eat way too much, then work it all off next week. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said amen. Now, in keeping with what I just preached, I was going to end with a Christmas song, but the Holy Ghost switched it up. He said, I want you to nail it down, y'all. Look, in the new year that's coming, we have to change. If we want to experience God's blessings, we have to change. So sing along with this song, okay? God bless you. God keep you. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you, and you too.
Do this sin no more. no other way. Said I was done, but again I'm down in my mess. It's the flesh I have chosen. Lord, I need you to change me and rearrange me. I can't do it by myself, no. I need you to change me, yeah, and rearrange me, 'cause I can't do it by myself. Grace, and you said that it is sufficient, and I took advantage, yeah. I've read your word, and you said to flee from temptation, but I ran right.
I can't do it by myself.